Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Challenges of Faith. Tonight's guest has returned to share with our listeners her latest novels. Author Patricia Haley Glass, who writes under the pen name of Patricia Haley, is an award-winning national best-selling author. She earned the title of Trailblazer after achieving remarkable success with her first faith-based novel, 1998. The self novel, Nobody's Perfect, 2,000 copies in an industry where selling 5,000 copies at the time was highly respected. The novel was the first of its kind to repeatedly make numerous national bestsellers, including No Regrets, Potential Impact, Cancer Has on a Family. It was popular among readers and followed Nobody's Perfect onto the bestsellers list. Patricia's award-winning books include Blind Faith, Still Waters, Sleeping Dogs Lie, Anointed, Betrayed, Chosen, Destined, Broken, Humbled, Unforgiving, Relentless, and Redeemed. Patricia, welcome back. Honor to have you return. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you for having me on this show. I'm always honored to come and just, you know, share what's going on. But yeah, thank you for your labor of love and even, you know, being faithful and having a show like this where authors and other people like us can come and share what we're doing with our gifts.
Also joining us will be a co-host, Kenny Lowe, Jr. Kenny, welcome to Challenges of Faith.
Well, thank you, Brother Gary. I appreciate that, man. It is also an honor for me and a privilege to be with you guys tonight. Thank you.
Like mine for both of you. First and foremost, how are you, husband and your precious daughter?
I'm doing fantastic. My wonderful husband, Jeffrey Glass, is awesome as always. Great. Great man of God, wonderful husband, great father. Just he's my best friend. So, and he's doing well. And my daughter, she just graduated from high school actually a year early. So, she's getting ready for college in the fall. And she's got her first little part-time job. So she is thrilled and happy.
Wow!
And I'm happy for her.
Hey, praise God, and congratulations to her. And I know as it upcomes Father's Day, I know your partner's chest is sticking out there as relates to that as well.
Yeah, because we do the thing where he gets the whole weekend. So just like Mother's Day, I get from Friday through Sunday is Mother's Day. So for Father's Day, it starts Friday through Sunday. And, you know,
All right.
We have to do everything.
All right.
So we're happy. We're grateful to do it. Yeah.
All right. Just to provide the listeners a refresher, you've been blessed to have lived in Philadelphia, Detroit, and the San Francisco Bay Area, and now reside in the Chicago area. You graduated with an engineering degree from Stanford University and an MBA in marketing and finance from the University of Chicago. Patricia, why did you take up writing inspirational, thought-provoking books?
I know it seems like a stretch, doesn't it? If you read my engineering degree and my marketing and finance, and I would have to say, if you ask me why, I can't tell you that it was something that I wanted to do. When I look back now, I realize that it was a gift that God deposited in me, and He allowed me to start writing books. And as I, you know, fast forward over these last almost 20 years, cause my first book came out in 98. When I look back, God was using that to develop me spiritually, to grow me by faith, to take me into an industry that I did not have any knowledge or background about, where I really was going without knowledge, but I had to trust Him to, you know, get my first book written, you know, get somebody to publish it or publish it myself, you know, let books be sold, let the books reach people that were intended to, you know, read it. But I look back, it was a big faith walk for me. And I realized that when you get faith in one area, you can use it in any area. You use it, you know, if you can develop your faith professionally, you can believe it for it in your relationship. You can believe it for it in your health. You can believe it for it in your finances. So So God really was taking me to a place to see, I think, if he could draw me out and if he could trust me to use the gifts that he'd given me, even though it was not convenient for me. For me, it was more convenient at the time to you know, this profession that all the education and background I got into, you know, to pursue my career in corporate America. I thought I could just do that, but God wanted me to do both, and he's given me the ability to do both in a way that works for me and for him to be glorified.
Praise God. Hey, listeners, you know, prior to us coming on the air, respectfully, you know, I was listening to Brother Kenny and Sister Patricia, and they both reconfirmed when we talk about gifts and when we talk about using that which God has blessed us to use. Patricia, the books that you've written, they do have spiritual twists and honor God. Why is that important for you and for the readers coming from you?
And I'll start off by saying, you know, what God has called me to write and what the path he's led me is not to be compared to anybody else or a slight on anybody else. You know, God uses everybody for where they are. But for me, when I first started writing, I really wrote a book that I wanted to read. I wanted a book that was modern day, with everyday, you know, modern day stories that people could relate to. My first book dealt with a single woman who had this 12-point checklist, and she had all these perfect things. She wanted a perfect guy, even though she wasn't perfect, you know. And so people can relate to that. People can relate to relationship and dating and all that. And so I want to write something modern day with characters that, you know, everyday people that you read the book and say, I know this person. I recognize those characteristics in my cousin and myself and my neighbor and, you know, various people that you know, that they were real people with real issues. But I wanted it to be clean fiction because that's just who I am. I would feel like staying true to myself. And then not even somebody who's like a religious or beat you over the head with the Bible kind of person. It was just what God put in my heart for me to write, I wrote. And that's, when I look back, it had nothing to do with me. Had I not written that book, somebody else would have written that book because God would have raised up somebody else to do it. And it's like, oh, right. I realized it was what God called me to do, he gifted me to do at that time. That's why it was what, you know, that book honored God. But also at the time I look back, it really was trailblazing in the sense that just by being obedient and stepping out of my comfort zone and letting God take me through that process of getting that first book out, Nobody's Perfect. So many other authors who came afterwards who told me, I can't tell you how many times authors have said, because you wrote that book, you know, I realized I could write in that genre, or I could write, or I could do it. And it's like sometimes you just got to step out of your comfort zone. It's not about you. Just let God lead you, and then other people can release their gifts or their talents because of that.
Why is it important for you to provide hope through your writing?
I think it's just who I am. I have come to realize, in, you know, in last 10 years or so, what my purpose on earth. Like, I am, by profession, you know, I'm a businesswoman. And I often tell people that, you know, my passion is numbers, dealing with numbers, math, finance. That's my passion. I can do that in my sleep. I love it. That's my thing. My gift is writing. It's something that God's given me. Writing is not my passion. It's not my source of income. It's a gift that I've been given. But my purpose for being on earth is to be an encourager, to encourage those that know the Lord and those that don't. That, you know, that there is hope through Jesus. That there is a better day. That there is that no matter what you're going through, there is there's a brighter moment coming. And so, because I'm an encourager, the things that I do, whether it be my books or me on my job or me in my church or me in my sorority or me at home or me with my family, whatever I do, my purpose is always going to come forward, which is to give people hope and encouragement.
Boy, this is Brother Kenny. And when you start talking about that hope, man, that is so powerful, because without that, boy, we'd be like everybody else, miserable without a hope. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I have to just think about it, the fact that once we go through a process in life, as I, you know, I've gotten older, and, you know, it's, as I said, the first book came out in 1998, so it's been 20 years, so I'm at least 20 years older than I was back then. And you look back and you learn, if you're willing to listen and see what God's teaching you or trying to teach you, you realize that, again, it's not about you. It's just stepping back and realizing that whatever we do, whatever gifts we've been given, any gift that we've been given is ultimately to glorify God and advance the kingdom, to share, to let somebody know that Jesus is Lord and that there is a hope beyond this. There's a hope not just for heaven, not just getting saved and going to heaven, but there's a hope on earth while you're here. I don't want to just wait for heaven to get my good moments. I want them here too.
Okay, I hear you on that, because it does sound like you got so many things going on there. You got your family, you got your wedding, you got your business going on there. How do you manage that, and how do you set those priorities and put that everything in order so that God does get the glory out of that? Because, you know, when you're busy like that, there's all kinds of opportunity for the enemy to step in there and disrupt that. How do you keep that smooth and moving forward?
Well, I don't know if it's smooth, but I know it definitely moves forward because, you know, we get our 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Time is going to pass regardless of what you do with it. It's not gonna wait for you. So one of the things I'm often, and I'll honest, this is the honest truth. Sometimes I when I'm sitting and thinking, just meditating myself, I marvel at God myself because I'm thinking, wow, if people that are close to me know that, if I have a job, many people don't even realize I have a job because I get to do so many other things. But I have my job, like you said, and I have my writing, which is my ministry, and my family, and I'm not just my family in the house, my husband and my daughter and my nieces and godchildren and things, but I also have expanded family that I'm very close to, like, you know, helping to organize the family reunion, and I'm active in my sorority, I'm active in my church, and I even do things like I go to the movies. I like going to the movies. I go to the movies like once a week or once every other week. I like going to the plays, to theater, to opera. I love, playing games on my Panda Pop. I love playing Panda Pop. I watch movies. I do all those things. I do everything I want to do, and I still get sleep at night. And I realize that, and I relax, I chill, sometimes I'm taking naps. I'm not a big nap person, but I might fall asleep on the couch before I go to bed. But I know that God, I honestly can say this, I truly believe when you do those things that God is asking you to do, even if you're not like, oh my God, yes, I just want to go for it and do the will of God. Sometimes we do it out of obedience, even if we're kind of dragging along. But if we just say yes to God, I just believe and I know for myself that He just multiplies my time. I mean, my 24 hours, I get everything out of it that I want. It's sometimes amazing to myself. And I hang out, I go to lunch with friends and dinner. I do all those other things, talk on the phone, everything.
He's a wonder, isn't he?
He is. He really is. And that's when you get to that point where you realize that it's not about me. I don't have the ability to do any of this stuff. I don't have the ability. And once I realize that, I realize that God can do everything, and I just need to yield to Him and let Him use me in whatever way. And even out of that, I'll get blessed in return.
Well, you got me thinking about one of my favorite scriptures where it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength."
Amen.
And it is. It's amazing. I like the way that you put that. One of the things that gets me about you and Gary both is the ability to be able to articulate your life, your words, your visions, your pictures that you're seeing, and put it down on paper. I admire that so much. And let's talk about some of your books if we can.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. I've got all kinds of titles down here. I've got Anointed, Betrayed, Chosen, Destined, Humbled, Unforgiving. Some of these titles here are almost like putting an axe to a root on those things. Why would you use those titles like that in describing some of your books, like Let Sleeping Dogs Lie and Blind Faith?
Well, an author, it's interesting because sometimes you come up with the title first and then write the book. And sometimes you write the book and then come up with the title. But I think for an author, I think most authors can relate to this. Once you have the title, then you know you have your book. And it's like the title really, it'll come forward on its own, and you'll just, have that moment where, yep, I know that's it. I know that's the title. And there may be other titles that you played with. But for for me, the first seven that you mentioned, anointed, betrayed, chosen, broken, destined, humbled, and unforgiving.
Yes.
Those are part of a series. It's part of the Mitchell Family Drama series. And, you know, that series, I really took the story of King David in the Bible. And those that know, whether you're familiar with that story in the Bible or not, but King David was somebody who was least likely to become king, but he did. And he was a man that's known to be somebody who was after God's own heart. But he was a sinful. He had sin. He was a sinful
yeah.
person. But he understood how to repent and how to seek God for forgiveness. And once God forgave him, David accepted that forgiveness, and he was able to forgive himself. You know, a lot of times we as individuals, we will end up doing something that we contemplated, and then we'll do it, and it's not the right decision, and then we'll beat up on ourselves forever.
Yes.
Never let it go. So you lose on both ends. You struggle with making the decision that you know you probably should make, and you finally go ahead and do it. Then you do it. It's like then you have all this grief and, residue that comes from it. And David was not that. He understood that once he was forgiven from God, he was. But the series deals with not so much just him, but also him having his first wife, and then like in the Bible, King David had multiple wives. But this particular guy, Dave Mitchell, has a wife that he's built this business, this ministry with over the years, and then he ends up having a short affair with his secretary, and she gets pregnant, and then it goes on to the point where his wife leaves him. And I'll say that because the whole series deals with each individual in the story is each child has a story in the series, but
yeah.
basically it comes down to the two families. Dave has to give his ministry over to one of his children, his oldest son by his first wife, or the second son by his second marriage, and he gives it to the younger son, keeping with the Bible, with King Solomon, and
yeah.
and everything erupts from there.
That's nice the way you put that together into a modern day situation. You know,
right.
We used to sing a song when I was growing up. It was called "Still Waters Run Deep." Yes, they
yeah.
do. I mean, there was there was so much power to that song. And then I see that down here that you have actually written a book called "Still Waters." You wrote that in 2005, and then felt like you needed to revise it this year in 2017. Can you tell me a little bit about what that story is about?
Yes, that story is, you're right, 2005, and because it came out in 2005, that's back before e-books and any of that was even out, so I decided to go back and re-release it in e-book. But before I could do that, I had to really rewrite it because it was one of my really earlier books, and just over time, the craft, my craft has grown, but also
yeah.
in the storyline, things have changed. Like back in the original story, they dealt with fax machines and beepers and, pagers.
Yep. Technology.
and you have to bring all that to modern day. And so it's like, whew, if you just choose to start rewriting, I tell you, it was it took me more time to rewrite the book than it did to write the original story, quite honestly. it was intense.
Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. This is about Lori and Greg Wright, and it's set in the South in Georgia. And they have six sons, and they're still a pretty young couple. And Greg Wright, you see that he's a hardworking guy. He works on this job, and he's trying to provide for his family, but things just don't ever seem to go his way exactly. And you realize that his father, who has done very well for himself, his father's a judge, and his father has certain expectations for his son, for his oldest son, which have not panned out. So as you go through the story, you see that Greg really struggles with his wife. He's very he's very forceful with her. He's very controlling. And you start to see how that affects the whole family, the children, the younger son, the older sons. But you wanna at parts, dislike this guy. But then as you continue to read through the story, you realize how he got to where he was. And that's because of his relationship with his father. And it's interesting. Uh-huh. I think one of the things that Stillwaters does is shows that on the surface, you can easily make a judgment or an assessment about an individual. But unless you know their history, unless you know from where they came, unless you know what seeds have been planted in their life, you cannot sit in the seat of judgment without understanding where a person's come from or what they've come through.
And thus the title. I mean, it looks nice and smooth on the outside of the surface, but underneath it can be a whole bunch of stuff. Like you say, depression, you know, it's a serious matter, and it can affect how you feel. It can affect the way you think, the way you act, and make you feel sad and actually lose interest in things that you once enjoyed. So I really appreciate that title. It caused you just by looking at the outside of that cover, even though you can't judge a book by its cover, you get some insight a lot of times on that thing. But,
that's right. And in the book, Greg, you know, he goes through, like I said, job struggles and, you know, wanting to provide, but struggling with that, which leads to some, you know, loses his, and I'll just say, and I'm not telling the story, I'm just saying, you know, he goes through some challenges and financially, and there's a point where, you know, he's humbled, and that's a struggle for him.
Boy, that's one of my favorite scriptures. If we would just humble ourselves, mm-hmm. and sometimes the Lord will do that. He'll humble us, won't he?
Yes.
Yes, and you know, you for us out here, this, us men out here listening, when you speak of a once loving husband and he had lost his way, what were some of the things that we should be looking for? Some of those road marks let us know, hey, we need to get back on this road, to help us out a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and obviously as a woman, I can't speak from the man perspective, but what I can say is in the book, I'll look from the character's perspective. You know, for Greg, like I said, you could tell that he loved his family. He wanted to provide. He wanted to provide. But he just couldn't accept that it was okay to have struggles. It was okay to not be able to live up to your parents' expectations. You know, a lot of times I actually know grown men, myself in real life, many who have never gotten that validation from their father. And these are men who are very strong, successful men in many ways. But when it comes to that part of them, you could see that there's that struggle or that roughness that hasn't been smoothed out because of that. And so when you say what are some of the factors, one is wanting to do too much. You know, you want to provide for your family, and more important is that even than money or what you can buy them, it's being present, being there for them, being there physically and emotionally for your family. In this book, for the boys, like, you know, Greg as a father needed to be the example before his sons. And without realizing that he was becoming his father, the poor relationship that he had with his father, he was replicating. So I think that's one of the ones is that, you know, for men, it's like, what kind of example are you setting before your children? And you say, well, I don't have any children. Well, the young men that are looking at you, the young men, everybody, you're a mentor whether you know it or not. Everybody, somebody's watching you and looking at how you handle life and how you make certain decisions. And one of the things is, you know, are you setting that example? For Greg, he just couldn't get past out of his own way. And even at times when he needed help, he didn't trust his wife to help him in the way that she could. You know, he was just so much control, like hanging on sometimes to something so tightly. You ever had something in your hand, a ball, and you squeeze it so hard? What happens when you open your hand? It's all red and your hand's sore because you held it too tightly. And that's what he was like, hanging on so tightly out of fear of what could happen, that he wasn't living. He was actually driving his wife further away because he wasn't able to just relax into his life.
Okay, I hear you on that because I wasn't actually, and I'm sorry if you misunderstood me, I didn't want it from you to give me a man's perspective from a man, but I wanted it from your perspective. I wonder what kind of things could you should she have told him to keep him on the pathway?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. From the wife's perspective, you know, I think there's two things. Sometimes there are times when you just have to be a source of encouragement. There are times when you just need to be quiet. And there are times when you need, as a wife in this book, where you need to accept that it's a struggle that he has, that you can't say or do anything. There are times when you just have to step back, you pray and trust God, and just let him go. Like in this book, he had to go through his season.
Yeah.
There's nothing she could have said or done that would have changed, because the bricks, the foundation had already been laid long before she came into his life. The challenges, you know, they just built a family on top of the rocky foundation that he already had when it came to family. So sometimes there's nothing you can do. But on the other hand, there are times when you say, well, a guy is just struggling, the woman can't, you know, won't support him. I mean, every situation is different. But for those where the guy is doing all he can, you know, and the woman's not being supportive, that's, look, that goes either way. That could go either way, you know.
It can go either way. Brother Gary, let me stop before I get in here.
It's all right. You know, I was sitting here relaxing, listening to both of you all. I'm enjoying. What are you talking about? But let me say this. You know, I heard what Brother Kenny asked you, Patricia. But let me tell you something. Patricia was laying it out on us men as we near.
Was she?
Let me tell you what y'all not doing. She talking about all the ladies, and as a woman, a powerful woman of God. Patricia,
yeah.
For the weary and spiritual woman of God, why do you believe it's important for them to pray and remain hopeful that God has heard them and their prayers for their relationship?
Well, praying, as a believer, praying is just important, period, because it's one of the ways that we talk to God and we hear from God and he hears our requests. But like you said, for the weary and spiritual woman of God, and let me just say, like, yeah, I did lay out about the men, but in a relationship, in a marriage, it is two people. It's never all the man's fault. It's never all the woman's fault. It's something between the two that has to come together. And prayer is that one thing that allows you to step back out of yourself and pray. Now, when you're praying, obviously, it should be for restoration and for strength in a marriage and for, you know, God, you know, to allow peace and harmony and, you know, communication, not just praying for, you know, for him to change you know, because that doesn't work. But one thing I will say that for a spiritual woman of God, in a relationship, particularly like in this book, it's important to know who God is and his power and his ability, mm-hmm. and what he has sanctioned for the marriage. You know, we often think about marriage coming together. I find somebody I love. It's romantic, and we fall in love, and we're together, and that's it. And then when people fall out of love, they're like, well, I'm done with that. If you understand that the whole concept of marriage, particularly from a spiritual perspective, is that that is a union. That's a bond. And you think about two people coming together who know the Lord, who serve the Lord, then you have two people at all times who can pray together, who can move mountains in the spirit. It is a union that can change lives, change the family. It's more than just a romantic partnership. It's a spiritual union, and it's sanctioned so that God can be glorified and that you can have even more power to do the things in your prayer, even greater things in your prayer.
I always try to encourage the ladies and the guys and the ladies, that for the ladies, for them to remember that the male in their life, that they're meeting every woman that's ever been in that man's life, starting with the mom, if there was a mom there. And I try to say the same thing to the guy with the lady. They're meeting every male, starting with the father, if the father was there, so that when those two imperfect persons come together, you know they're going to have some problems. That's problems all
right.
by itself. But we got to include
right.
God. Patricia, what advice do you have for the woman or man who do not believe in God for self or their relationship?
Well, I'd have to ask, particularly for those that don't believe and who are struggling, you know, it hasn't worked out your way, so what does it hurt for you to try God's way? You know, you've done it, you've tried to relationship, and you've had your struggles and challenges, you know, I would say, not just to sound religious, because that's not where I want to come from, but if you're struggling with spirituality, it's beyond just relationship. You know, in life we're going to have troubles and challenges, and those that know the Lord and accept God as their Savior, accept God as their Father, they're going to have struggles. those that don't, you're gonna have challenges out there, and then you're not gonna have any real source. And that's what you talked about. You talked about depression. You talked about, you know, being lost. You talked about, you know, just sometimes you would just be lost. Like, I can't even imagine. It's hard for me to even think about it because I can't, now that I know the Lord and I know how great He is and what amazing things He's done in my life. And I don't mean from a success perspective. I'm not talking about my degrees or my jobs or my pay or my marriage, but I'm talking about the peace, the security, the safety, the wisdom, the confidence that I get from trusting God. Like, I can't imagine not having that now. Like, I don't even, it's like a foreign concept. So being in the marriage for me, like with my husband, the one thing that I can say that for Jeffrey and I, without a doubt, is that God is the third link in our relationship. And we said from the beginning that we both have to hold on to God's hand. So all three of us are held together. But if Jeffrey lets go of my hand or I let go of his hand, as long as we're still holding on to God, we're still connected. And for us, that has been the key. That has been the glue, that no matter what, we're always holding on to God, so we're always connected. And I think and I would want that for anybody in their relationship, to know that God has somebody for you and that He can be in the midst of that relationship and give you peace and harmony beyond what you could ever imagine.
Yeah, that's very interesting that you bring it that way, because I agree. I believe that you must put God first, before your wife, before your kids. You put Him first, everything else will fall in play. I think the scripture clearly says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all those other things will be added to you. So I agree. You know, you hold God's hand, and your husband holds God's hand. You know, that's a glue there. But God, you know, it's in Him that we move and have our being. He's the number one. If we seek Him first, we seek to please Him first, humble ourselves and pray, turn
Amen.
From our wicked ways, He's going to heal our land. But a lot
Amen.
Of us don't want to do that. We want to go on down our own path that seems right to me, but then result ends up in destruction of my marriage, destruction of my family, a weak foundation, all those other types of things. You know, when these challenges of faith do occur in these relationships, what would you tell us? What would you tell your listeners, your followers, your readers of your stories, especially when you look at the stress and the strains in these characters in your books? You know, you had the husband, the wife, the six kids, a whole bunch of things, like you say, that, you know, seem real to a lot of people. There are real things that's happening in people's lives. You know, how do you relieve that stress?
Well,
give me your formula.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what did not work. In this book, Lori and Greg, like I said, they were struggling financially, had the six kids, and he wanted to have more kids. And like I said, you realize a lot of things that he was doing was just to really not be – his really ultimately was not to be his father, not be what his father was. So he was having all these kids, and they would love him, all these sons. It just happened. And his wife, you know, didn't work. She stayed at home. And when Greg went through the challenges, he actually, you know, got downsized. And Lori had to get a job. You know, in the beginning of the story, she was very much the one believing God to make a change in her relationship. She had six kids, and she wanted her marriage. She wanted to fight for it. She wanted to stay. And she hung in there, and she prayed, and she went to church, and Greg didn't. As she starts to contribute, and there's a whole other piece of this story, underlying story, with the whole weight loss. You know, she had gained a lot of weight when she had the six kids, and throughout the story, you see that she goes through, she gets into a weight loss type program and really changes who she is. And when she changes how she looks outwardly, she also to change inwardly. And so, and not necessarily in a positive way.
You know? No, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but she knows she becomes, and then she's the one that stops going to church, and he's the one that starts going and, you know, praying and hoping that God will make a change in her, because she has gone, let's just say she's gotten out there. And you know, so that, you know, obviously when you lose your way, there has to be a point where you say, I want this relationship, and you have to both be seeing it at the same time, because you can have one person that wants it. And, you know, the time when she wanted it and he was he wanted, but he wasn't really to put in the work and make the sacrifice. Then when he was willing to put in the work and make the sacrifice, she was already, for her, it was already too late. She had already gotten a taste of what it felt like to have her own independence and to not be under his thumb. And, you know, so then he's in a desperate situation, like, can he hold on to his wife? But, you know, when challenges of faith come in a relationship, you have to be able to step back. You have to get back to what you know. Okay, why are we in this relationship? I love you. I'm committed to you. And then use resources, you know, like whether it's going to a counselor, or if you trust the pastor or the church ministry has some counseling. You know, don't be so prideful that you won't go get help. One of the things you need to not do is talk to friends, family that are going to encourage you to not work things out. And I'm not talking about barring any physical abuse and all that. I'm talking about just people are like, we just don't like each other like that anymore, or we don't communicate well, or we have struggles in our finances. Half the stuff that people fight or fall out about in their marriage down the road, they had those problems in the beginning. You knew that when you married them. You knew he wasn't good with money when you married him. That wasn't a hindrance for you to prevent you from marrying him. So it's no sense to that to be the issue now. And I think people have to step back and say, you know what? Let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to some counseling. Let's get back to why we're together and step back and get some help.
I agree 100%. I'd like to be able to just step back and get the basic definition of what real love is.
Mm-hmm.
It's patient. It's kind. It's long-suffering. You know what I mean? It's all these things that we don't want to put to the side. We want to put those to the side when our feelings get a little hurt and carrying on.
Right.
But it's interesting,
right,
because that would follow me up with this other book that you have that's called No Regrets. Could you tell me a little bit about that one then?
Oh, yeah, No Regrets, one of my favorite ones. No Regrets is about this couple, Johnny and Karen Clark, and it was my second book, actually. Came out in 1992. I mean,
okay.
Yeah, 1992. Was it 92? 2002, I'm sorry. I'm a decade too early. 2002.
But right on time.
Right. But this couple is another relationship story where, you know, she goes in and out of remission with a serious illness, and while they're going in and out, their marriage also goes in and out of remission. Their finances go in and out of remission, and her faith goes in and out of remission. And you see that what the effect that, like, an illness or something like that can have on a marriage. And again,
yeah,
you look at that husband from the outside, he looks like this wayward guy who cheats on his sick wife, and, you know, he's, you know, the terrible guy, and he does have some challenges, and nothing he's doing we agree with in that way. But you also have to look at what's underlying, where is he falling short, but also where is his wife falling short, you know, with regards to the relationship, and who in the marriage is really committed to making it work. You know, sometimes we want everything to be perfect in the marriage for us, and it's not going to be. There's no way you can have two people in a relationship and everything be great for you all the time. You got to make some sacrifices. You got to make some compromise, and it's a matter of how much are you willing to bend. Not just bend, but how much are you willing to commit to making the marriage great? You know, I think about people in their jobs. People will put up with stuff, or people, they won't fly off the handle with their manager when they say something that they don't like. They'll put up with all kind of stuff, you know, crazy hours, whatever they got to do to keep that job. But as soon as the person that they love says something they disagree with, they fly off the handle, or you know, or they're salty, or they don't want to speak to somebody for some period of time. It's, you know, it's the wrong place to be if you're saying that the relationship after God, the next important thing is your marriage or relationship, then you have to treat it as such.
Yes, I agree 100%. And a lot of times the way me in particular, God works on me is through these relationships, through these situations. If I keep in mind that God is working on me, I know he's going to work on you, but I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to pray for you, but I know he's working on me and molding me, making me, shaping me, whatever he's got to do to me. If I accept that, then I think I'm a little bit more tolerable, because then I can, that other person can say something to me and whatnot, and I look at it and say, well, wait a minute, God is working on me in this situation. How am I going to handle it? I believe that things aren't designed to make you or break you, but just to reveal what's in you. So a lot of times these circumstances and situations we get into, they're there to reveal what's in me, not what's in that other person.
It's so true. And I meant to read the scripture earlier. I'm always reminded of Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "When God says, 'For I know the plans I have for you,' declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope in the future.
Yes.
And even the marriage, we forget about some of the the promises of God, and including our relationship, how,
yes,
you know, we're not, you know, people think, oh, I'm just in this relationship. I mean, there are people who are married who wish they were single. There are people who are single wish they were married, but it's like,
yes,
they're just, you know, miserable. And it's, and
yes,
for so many different reasons, but, and I get it, you know, being that, you know, that situation, particularly for the couple in the book, it's, you realize that, again, you got to step back, and you have to have, for the marriage to work, you got to have, not be the same people, but you got to have a lot in common, some differences, but a lot in common, a lot of your foundation has to be the same. Like my husband and I, our foundation is the same, that we both accept the Lord, and the Lord is our Savior, and that's the head of our family and our spiritual life. So we always have to go back to that. I mean, we can't even if we get into a disagreement, like we can't stay upset at each other for more than, you know, half hour at the most, you know, and we never go to bed angry or mad. I mean, and it's always who's going to, you know, usually we're going back to apologize to one another about the same time, or somebody's going back first, you know, but there's always that. And we teach our daughter that too, that, you know, what could you possibly have, you know, if God is in our life and we love one another, what could we possibly disagree about that would be so harsh that we would lose communication and not want to work through it? And we always believe, too, the quicker you work through something and seek forgiveness from the person that you've offended or that even offended you, then the better it is. The longer you wait and let things marinate, the deeper it becomes and the bigger problem it becomes.
Beautiful words of wisdom. Patricia, how can our listeners that are listening to our conversation now purchase your books and even send invitations to you if they like? How would they be able to do that?
Well, I have my books are like Amazon. You can get them Amazon. You can get the ebook version or the paperback version, and then like Barnes & Noble's the ebook version, and various other sites for the ebook. Through Smashwords, there's a ton of sites that sell that you can download the book for the ebook.
Okay.
And then my website, www.patriciahaley.com. And then I also have on there, you can email me on from there. You can, you know, post a note. And I'm also on Facebook at Patricia Haley. And I also have a fan page, author Patricia Haley fan page. So,
oh, that's beautiful.
I'm reachable.
Many ways to get a hold of you if we really
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, nowadays it's difficult. I mean, whether you want to be reached or not, it's hard to hide.
So, Patricia, do you have any final words for our listeners?
Well, I'm really glad to be back on the show, and I my books, like I said, No Regrets and Still Waters, I just rewrote those. Those came out 2002 and 2005, and I wanted to redo them because I wanted them to be available in the e-books, you know, like I said, since they weren't available before. But in going through those stories, it rekindled the stories for me, and I just, you know, I love the stories of both in Still Waters, the right, you know, that couple, how, you know, they go through the challenges, but they prevail, and that's the message in that story. And also No Regrets. No Regrets, one of my favorite ones. It's a tearjerker, I'll say that. It's one of the stories, tearjerker and No Regrets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I like the couple, how they, you know, go through, not just them, but several couples in the story, and you see how they go through their challenges. And it's really up to you. Challenges don't have, like you said, don't have to break you. They can make you stronger. It depends on how you let it shape you.
Yes, ma'am. I agree.
Yeah.
Brother Gary? You still there, Brother Gary?
No, let me say this. You know, while listening to the both of you and fellowshipping around the throne of grace and mercy, I'm reminded of where the word made it clear, if two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. And that's what I was doing, was sitting here actually listening to the both while worshiping God, because church was going on at the same time.
Yes, sir.
Patricia.
Yeah.
Thank you, as usual, for returning the challenges of faith, and please keep writing and returning, and may God continue to richly bless you, your husband, your partner, Jeffrey, and your beloved daughter. Thanks for coming back.
thank you so much for having me, and I just speak blessings over you, continue blessings over this show, and that each listener, you know, would be all that God has created and called them to be, and that they would be fearless, you know, to step out and do the things that God has put in them to do, and that, you know, God would be glorified in their lives and in mine.
Amen. Brother Kenny, any final words for the listeners?
Oh, no, sir. I just wanted to let you both know that I appreciate the time that you spent with me. I'm chewing on these. It was a pleasure listening to this young lady of God express herself, and the little laughter, the giggles. I could hear the joy emanating there, and just want to let everybody know that it is about relationships. It's about that relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, once you got that one together, everything else is not going to be smooth, but it's going to fall in place, and you'll understand the season, the reason, and everything that's going on there. Thank you, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Listeners, as Patricia continues her robust schedule, she still finds time for her family, and you heard her say that, and to partake, that's all I can say. Even when the song just said about lifting your hand up to heaven, you know, with the three heavens, based upon the messages tonight, and knowing that nearing Father's Day, I know that you have something to say, not only to the men, but I know these topics tonight for any and everybody, irrespective of gender and race and age and all of that. What was your thoughts, brother?
Yes, sir. As we was listening to all those things you just discussed, it is all about that one relationship for me. If I can get that relationship with my Father, regardless what happens here on earth, what our foundation, our background, and all that stuff behind, what it's about reaching forward. It is about that hope, that city called heaven. One of these days we're going to leave all these cares behind. No more crying, no more dying. I don't know about anybody else, but that's drive. I want to get there. And I'm almost like Paul at this point. He said, to live is Christ and die is gain. I look forward to that gaining. I look forward to that relationship where I don't have to worry about trust. You don't have to worry about, you know, whether you got the right size weight or, you know, whether you're keeping a job down for this person or that person or your struggles, your home and all this type of thing. It's all about that love. It's all about that faithfulness. It's all about loving me for who I am, regardless of all my downcomings and all that type of thing. I look forward to it, my brother.
That's
and
right.
Along the way, he does allow us to meet some good people. You included my brother, my friend. I like that. I was able to speak to a young lady that has her mind filled with pleasing God, doing things for God, making her time useful for God. I mean, it's a good journey, brother.
That's right. You know, one of the things I appreciated in listening to Patricia and what you just said was the fact that she took her background, and even though she had that background, the foundation one way, stepped out, obeying God, leaving the consequences to him, and just began to write and touch all of these powerful topics that touch people's hearts and minds.
Yes.
Who were led to begin to purchase and read, and knowing that they were probably turning around their life, recognizing that nobody was perfect. A lot of people had regrets. But you know, Brother Kenny, I was listen to something you just said, and still waters, what we're talking about tonight. But even though we're talking about still waters, you know, I'm reminded of this pastor who he was asking the congregants who all wanted to go to heaven, and everybody raised their hand except this little young man. And so the pastor took note of that. And he asked the question again, the same response, except this young man didn't raise his hand. So the pastor asked the question again, and he said to himself, you know, I'm going to ask this question, but if that young man don't raise his hand, I'm going to try to find out why. So the pastor asked the question again, and such, don't you want to go to heaven? And the young man said, yeah, but I thought maybe you was trying to get us to go tonight. So the point is, why we in this still waters with all whatever's going on in all of our lives, we praise God that whenever the name is called, that we're absent from the body and present with Him. But while we're still here on earth, just like what Patricia was talking about, very appreciative, listening to how God took her family in unison, unifying under Him, while the family representing one on behalf of the daughter proudly graduating, headed to college. But you know what? Still as a family, being able to say to any family, before you go to bed, you may have that disagreement. You know, and that's what the adversary has, you know, that enemy, using two-legged person, but the enemy's got to find a door that's open to keep that peace, to keep that unification from being as God would have it to be. Because like Patricia said, and as you always say, somebody's watching you. Mm-hmm. And what do they see as they're watching?
Discouragement is so powerful. When you told me the little story, you know, sometimes people want to hold on to things that they're not going to be able to take with them. They're trying to hold on to things. You say, hey, I didn't know you meant tonight. There's some other things I want to do here first. But, shoot, I want that relationship to be first. I want that relationship with Christ to be first before anything, because He wants people that's going to be ready. When He calls, He wants you to be ready. Don't be hanging on to no bitterness. Don't be going to sleep. Just like she said, don't be going to sleep. They got 10, 15 minutes. Now, we got to figure out that formula she working to get an argument out in 15, 20 minutes. That's pretty good. it becomes interesting, man. You know, the strategies that we employ to go through this life, the stories that we witness. You know, we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So being able to hear the testimonies of a young lady like that, you know, how she's able to do what she does, you know, is encouraging. You know, for those that are out there struggling, that feel so overwhelmed in their life and the things going in and going out. But if you step back, like she says, and look and try to see what God is doing, you know, to us, how He's trying to mold and make His children and accept His will, we're going to be all right, man. He's an awesome God.
He's an awesome God who reigns. Listener,
that's what I like about it. He's still raining.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Listener,
yes, sir.
You're hearing from Kenny Lowe. Now, listen. Now, the dialogue you are hearing, that's the dialogue you're going to hear. And, you know, as you was listening, as I was listening, you see how Kenny intertwined the questions and made sure, and then at a point in time, when applicable, applied, and all of that, just so that the listeners, irrespective of who's listening, can begin to not only ponder, but think about it. And you know, we're not trying to ask you to be like a cow chewing the cud, but can you chew on some of that meat that's being provided to you? We're talking about pearls that God has blessed one to have. And, you know, He can't give those pearls just to any and everybody. Why do you think that's so, Kenny?
He knows them that are His. And I'm so glad that he's got everybody in mind, just like Patricia was saying a little earlier, as far as people being unique in their circumstances and situations. Everybody's different. Everybody's going through. You can't tell what somebody's going through unless you walk in their shoes and so forth and so forth. God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knew us in our mother's womb. Matter of fact, even before the foundation of the world. And He knows those that are able to handle what He gives and can chew on what He gives and can digest what He gives. And then He knows those that can, give out what He gives. Because, you know, how can you take more into your cup unless it's empty? If your cup is always full all the time, you fool yourself, fool your situation, fool your problems, full your circumstances, man, he can't pour nothing in there because you don't have no room. So once you empty on out and let his spirit, he'll overflow it for you.
Yes, he will. Mm. Listeners, tonight we were talking to author Patricia Haley Glass.
Yes.
Writing under the name of Patricia Haley, award-winning national best-selling author. And you heard about her books, and if you didn't, go ahead and Google her, and you guess what you're going to find when you do? Probably the whole page taken up. But if you re-listen to the program or tune in for the first time, you'll hear the same. Now, this is leading to Kenny. So think about it, audience. When the program comes on, and you know Kenny, like you heard him tonight, those are the exciting topics, whatever the topics are going to be
thought-provoking.
All right. Well, my fellow, again, it's an honor, it was enjoyable for our fellowship tonight, and
yes,
iron sharpening iron with our beloved sister, and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too, my friend.
All right, sir. Hey, may you continue to be blessed, and thank you for who you are and who you continue to be, and know that you are loved in Him.
Thank you, brother.